deviate this morning from my typical Mother's Day. I know it's Mother's Day, and I do honor mothers. I'm going to tell you, we live in a world, if we don't have some godly mothers step up, I just don't know where this thing's going to end up at. And, well, I guess we do know where it's going to end up at, but I appreciate the godly mothers of our church. I look at these young folk and I can see some godly mothers doing their job, and I'm so proud of you. And really, you deserve for me to preach on you today or preach about you today. You're certainly worthy, and maybe I ought to. I don't know. I'm just kind of wrestling in my mind a little bit. I've got two or three little messages on my heart. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's pray. Brother Ronnie Brewster, would you pray for us, ask for direction for the message today? I want to share just a little verse with you before I get started today. In 1 Samuel, it really spoke to my heart. We were looking at this in the Sunday school hour, and I can't seem to get away from it. I believe it's in chapter number 2. Yes, 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse number 3. Hannah has sacrificed probably as precious a commodity as she has in this world. Her little son Samuel, she's taken him back up to the tabernacle and gave him to Eli, lent him back to the Lord. You would think she would be very sad, and no doubt there was some degree of sadness. But in verse 1, the Bible says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." And so we see that sacrifice brought joy in their life. And we don't see that much. We think selfishness brings joy in our life. Get all you can all you get, and that brings joy. That doesn't bring joy in life. A sacrificial life brings joy. We understand that. But the verse that really spoke to my heart was verse number 3. "Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed." Actions are weighed. He weighs our actions. I believe that's sinner and saint alike, just to be perfectly frank with you. But when I started thinking about that, really the law of reaping and sowing is God weighing our actions. If you really get down to it, He has to weigh our actions to give us a just harvest. And so it sobered me to think that every action I do is being weighed by the Lord, being looked at. My, isn't that a sober thought? Sober thought. This is... Now, I'm not talking about salvation, losing your salvation, anything like that. I'm just talking about your actions being weighed by God. Your actions being weighed by the Lord. And then you go over there to Daniel chapter 5. What verse was that, Jason? Well, he's not up here, but 27 was that it. "Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." I wonder if our actions were weighed today, where would we stack up at? Where would we stack? And they are weighed. If we could see them, see them being weighed. How would they stack up? Maybe it's the way I ought to say that. But my, that just kind of sobered me up to think that the Lord weighs our actions. Well, I'm gonna preach to you. I want us to go to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. I don't know. I'm kind of wrestling around this morning. I'll tell you what, I want to start in Matthew 27. Hold your place there. We're coming back there. I want to read in Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 41, this is Jesus on the cross. He died for the sins of the whole world. He stood in your place on Calvary, hanging on a cross, and God punished him for your sins. That's right. He died a death you should have died. He suffered the pain that you should have suffered. And he was buried, and on the third day he rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he purchased redemption for you and I. We can be saved because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do. You see, here's some things the world gets confused. The world thinks this, I have to clean up and then Jesus will accept me. A sinner can't clean up. They're a sinner. God meets you in your sins and saves you from your sins. Isn't that a blessing? He meets you in your sins, right where you're at, old, dirty, nasty sinner. He meets you as a sinner and saves you from your sins. Hallelujah for that. Well, that's what we're going to read about this morning, an old thief that hung on the cross and really had nothing to offer the Lord. His life was coming to a close. He had nothing to offer but a wasted life. Just a wasted life. That's all he had to give the Lord. What'd you have to give him when you got saved? I didn't have 10 cents in my pocket to my knowledge. I didn't have anything to offer. I wasn't from a well-to-do family. I didn't have any great potential. But he saved me anyways because he loved me. Well, I want to read just a little bit. Matthew 27. Verse 41, likewise also the chief priests mocking him. That's talking about Jesus as he hung on the cross. The religious crowd mocked him. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. He can't even save himself. He saved others, but he can't save himself, they said. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. What a trick by the devil, I guess, trying to tempt Jesus. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now here's what I want you to get in verse 44. The thieves, that's plural. That's both of them. There's one on the left, one on the right. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now what do thieves say? Well, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. You saved others, save yourself. If you're really who you say, that's what the thieves were saying. Both of them were saying that. But now let's go over to Luke chapter number 23. In Luke chapter number 23 and verse number 49, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. Now who was the malefactors? That was the thieves. That's who it was. That's the same people. Luke uses a different term to describe them. one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." That's what they were saying. That's the thieves. But here in Matthew's gospel, we read where both of them were railing on him. But notice here what it says in our text in Luke, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying," here's the other thief, now who was railing on him at one time, but notice what he says, "But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." Let's pray again, if you would. Pray with me and for me. Father, help me this morning. I ask you, Father, that your will be done. I ask you to help me to say exactly what needs saying. I ask you to open hearts, hold back any hindrances, and do the work that needs doing. And we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, here's the situation. In Matthew's gospel, both of the thieves are railing on. They're approaching death. They're getting near death. Of course, Jesus dies first. And so they don't break any of his bones, but they do the others. And so death's coming their way. Really, they have no future. Jesus could look at them and say, "You benefit me nothing. There's no good in you. You've wasted your life. You come down to die, and you want me to do something for you." That could be it. But here they are in Matthew's gospel. They're railing on him. But when we come to Luke's gospel, it's no longer thieves, plural, railing on him, but it's one thief. And the other thief said this, "Don't you fear," he's talking to his buddy, his cohort in crime, and he says this, "Don't you fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" And he said, "We deserve it, and we indeed justly, we deserve it, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hadn't done anything amiss." And then he said this, he looks at Jesus, he quits talking to his partner in crime, and he looks at Jesus and he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And then Jesus looks at or speaks to him and says, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." What could a thief offer him? He's a few hours from death, and he wants the Lord to do something for him. And can I tell you, the Lord did. What a Savior. We sung that song this morning, "What a Savior." Can I say, what a Savior? Well, here's what I want to preach on. One of those thieves changed his mind. And I want to preach on this little thought. And I think I'm comfortable. I've preached this here before. But I want to say this. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay. Even, here's what they'll say, "You can't teach an old dog new tricks." That old dog learned a few new tricks. He changed his mind. He got in on everlasting life, eternal life. It's okay. Here's what I want to say to you. It's okay to change your mind. It's okay to change your mind. Now, as I start this, we live in a world that people's stubborn. I'll never forget talking to some of my kinfolk. I'll just leave it at that. And we were talking about a particular doctrine, premillennial doctrine versus amillennial doctrine.
And he said this, they're not going to change my mind. He tried to talk to me about that. He's not changing my mind. I was raised to believe it this way, and that's how I'm going to believe it till I die. That's what he said. Here's what he said. I'm not going to change my mind even if I'm wrong. That's what he was saying. And he was wrong. And I just was listening to him. And he said, he believes what he believes, and I'm going to believe what I believe. Well, can I say it's quite foolish to believe error and not be willing to change your mind?
Amen.
Amen. I remember my dad telling me of a hospital visit he made to a man who was wicked in the town I grew up in. Lived a wicked life. He was a womanizer, party man, up 60 years old. He had heart trouble, really was on his way out. My dad witnessed to him, and he said he told him this. He said, I've just lived this far like this, and I'm just going to ride it on out and see where it takes me to. Today's in hell because he wouldn't change his mind and go with the truth. Can I tell you, it's okay to change your mind. It don't make you a little man. It don't make you a lesser man. It don't make you a lesser woman. It doesn't mean you're subpar. It's okay to change your mind. We look at changing our mind as if it's almost like a weakness. It makes us weak. And maybe it indicates to us we've been wrong, but what's wrong? What's the problem when you're wrong? Just admitting it and changing your mind. What's wrong with that? In fact, it shows intellect. It shows wisdom to do that. And so, I want to talk to you for a little bit about changing your mind. What causes one to change their mind? What causes one? I had another one of my kin folks, and he was an alcoholic. I never forget when I've been around the family long enough that I saw him grow up, and here's what he said to me when he first started in his ways. He said, I just want to have a good time with my friends. That's all he wanted. Of course, to make a long story short, he got in the military. Actually, he got on drugs and other things. And he got out, and the phone rang one day, and he was weeping. And he said, I want to quit, but I can't. Help me. Here's what he said. Here's as close to what he said. He was weeping. He said, I need help. I want to quit, but I can't. He changed his mind. He changed his mind. And he wanted out of that. And can I tell you, it's okay. What causes us to change our mind? Sometimes it's the consequences of our actions. We see what our thinking, where it's led us to, and we realize we had erroneous thinking. Have you ever done that? I had it in my mind one time. I wanted to have rental property, and I was going to accumulate money and build up wealth through rental property. And I bought me a couple of those old houses. Can I tell you, they worried me to death. I got every time the phone would ring, I'd start trembling. I'd start thinking, oh no, what's wrong now? What have I got to do now? Have they burnt the house down? Has this happened? Has that? All the time. And you know what I found out? I need to change my mind because the consequences of my thinking was making my life miserable. Sometimes we might change our mind because we get additional understanding. I'm almost 60 years old, not far, not too many years from that. And the way I thought when I was 30, it's not how I think now. I think different at this age than I did at that age. And you know why? Because I've got 30 years of learning under my belt that I didn't have at that age. And that additional information that I've learned in those last 30 years makes me think different today. I've learned some things. I see some things different. So additional understanding, a change of circumstances sometimes, viewing from a different perspective. I used to be able to say this about parents. I used to be able to say, well, if that's my kid, here's what I'd do. But can I tell you, after raising 3 or 4 kids, I'm real careful about saying that. Because you really, You have a different. If you've never raised teenagers, don't try to tell anybody how to do it. After you get through two or three teenagers, you'll have a different perspective. Well, amen. I'm telling you right. You view it from a different perspective, and it makes you think differently. And then there's times the action of the Holy Spirit makes you think different. I'll never forget when I got saved. I come to church that Monday night. I wasn't going to be saved. I didn't even have getting saved on my mind. I never will forget it. The Holy Spirit been dealing with me. But the Holy Spirit started speaking to my heart in that service. And He said, you need to be saved. I said, I'm not going to be saved. That's what I said. I knew what I was going to do. He just kept dealing with me. It kept getting heavier and heavier on me. And about halfway through the service, I said, well, I might. And by the end of the message, I said this, I'm going to ask God to save me and see if He will. You say, what changed your thinking? The Holy Spirit dealing with my heart. And so here's what I'm trying to say. Our thinking changes depending on the situation and on our maturity and on our circumstances and on the results of our current thinking. But as we look in Luke chapter number 23, we see a man who is realizing what his thinking, where it's brought him to. It's brought him to condemnation. He's getting ready to die. He has no future. He has no hope. He has no, I don't even know if he had any family down there. And really, he had a lot of challenges about changing his mind. I mean, there's a lot of people around there saying Jesus is really not the Savior. There's a lot of folks there that said, hey, you need to keep thinking like you're thinking and rail on Jesus. The majority was in agreement with both thieves in Matthew's gospel. But this thief changed his mind in spite of what the majority thought. You're going to have to get past the majority opinion if you're going to get any help from the Lord. And he could have said this, what does it matter? My life's over. I've got about 6-7 hours or 4-5 hours, whatever it was. I've got a few hours and life's over. Why should I change my mind? Can I tell you, friend, because eternity's riding on it. What's 70 years of life when you compare it to 70 million or 70 billion years of eternity? And so here he is. He could easily have said, it don't matter at this point. I've done spent my life. I've done wasted my life. He could have said this. The Lord wouldn't save me now. If you knew what all I'd done, if there's a preacher there begging him to make it right, he probably would have said, if you just knew what I'd done, you'd know the Lord can't save me. Can I say he ain't saved to the uttermost? That's right. A lot of reasons why he might not have done what he done. He had to oppose his friend. He had a cohort in crime. I like to think, I don't know if it's so, but I like to think maybe they grew up together and just kind of got on the wrong path. You know how that is. You just start doing a few things and you wake up one day and you wonder, how did I get where I'm at? I mean, it just started out just innocent fun, just innocent whatever. And all of a sudden, here they are. They've committed crimes and maybe been together a long time and now they've gotten caught up with and death's at their doorstep. Maybe they thought crime was going to pay. We're going to do well. We're going to get us a bunch of money and then we're going to move off. Oh, maybe over in this wilderness and build us a house and a farm and straighten our life. I don't know, but I just got in my mind they'd been buddies and now he's going to disagree with his buddy. This friend. And so, if you change your mind, you're going to be challenged. The devil's not going to roll over and play dead. I'll never forget when I got saved, I said this, I think I'm going to go and see if God will save me. The devil said this, He got on my shoulder right there, if I can just use that figuratively. And he said, wait for another time. Wait to a better. There's too many people here. Wait till there's not so many people. You know what he was doing? Hoping I'd wait and end up in hell. That's right. There's a lot of people put it off. But they put it off too long. They woke up in hell. Put it off. Then he said this. He said, back in what church I went to, on the back two rows on this side was two rows of young people. That's where they sat, the back two pews. And he says, they'll laugh at you if you go up there. And can I tell you, they didn't laugh at me. They came around, hugged my neck, and told me they loved me, and they'd be praying for me. Devil's just a liar and the father of it. That's what he is. But he challenged me. He didn't want me to change my mind. It's what I'm trying to get across. Well, here's what I want to talk about. What did he change his mind about? He changed his mind about his friend. Here's what he said. Friend, I'm not going with you anymore. I'm not following the path you're following. I'm not going to think like you're going to think. I'm not going to do anymore. My life's over. You might as well say, but I'm not going with you anymore. I'm not going with your thoughts. I'm not going with your attitude. You're not going to tell me how to think. You know what he did? He changed his mind about his ungodly friend, and he decided to go with Jesus over his friend. So it'll be a good day when you change your mind about your ungodly friend. Put Jesus ahead of them. He changed his mind. He decided his friend was wrong. I just wonder maybe if his friend wasn't the dominant partner in their relationship. Maybe his friend told him how to think. Maybe his friend told him what to do. There usually is a dominant one in somebody's life like that. Tells them what they ought to think, do, say, and how they ought to respond. But here's what he said. You're not telling me what to do anymore. I'm going with Jesus. I don't see it your way anymore. Your ways brought us down to death. Your ways give me no hope. Your way has brought condemnation and shame and embarrassment to my life. I'm through with you. I'm going with Jesus. I want to say it's okay to change your mind and go with Jesus this morning. Amen. He didn't have to listen to him any longer. Neither do you if you're listening to that ungodly crowd. And so it's okay to change your mind about ungodly friends. It's okay to side with Jesus and the Word of God. His friends. Can I tell you what his friend would have done? Had he not changed his mind about his friend, you know what his friend would have done? Took him to hell with him. He'd be burning in hell today had he went with his friend. But he changed his mind, said, I'm going with Jesus, and we'll see him one of these days, Brother Allen. Sure as the world, we step off on the sunny banks of Sweet Deliverance, somewhere in that mix, there'll be an old thief that got in on the last minute. Well, hallelujah. Why'd he do it? He got in because he changed his mind about Jesus. It's okay to change your mind about Jesus. He changed his mind about the fear of God. They hadn't had no fear of God. I don't care about God. I've heard people laugh and mock the preacher. I'm going to make ice water in hell and sell it. And I'm going to party in hell. And I'm the only hell my mother ever raised. And all that stuff. I want to tell you, when you get to hell, it won't be funny. Oh my, when that old thief woke up in hell, it wasn't funny anymore. It wasn't a joke anymore. Oh, I'm saying to you today, friend, you better change your mind about God. He has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. Oh my, you better fear God. You parents better fear God and raise your children in the fear and nurture of God. Oh my, we have no fear of God. The preacher can preach and they just mock and laugh and walk out the door in God's people. Boy, the preacher's on the roll today. Boy, he's stirred up today. My, just kind of make a joke out of it. Can I tell you what the problem is? We've lost the fear of God. That's right. We don't fear God. I'll tell you what we better do. We better fall on our faces before God and say, oh God, have mercy on our families. Here's what he did. He started fearing God. Notice verse 40. Dost not thou fear God? Don't you fear God? Don't you fear standing before a holy God one day that sent his son to die for your sins so you won't have to go to hell and you mocked and sneered and rejected him? Don't you fear him? That's what his friend's saying to him. Dost not thou fear God, seeing we are, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? He changed his mind about the fear of God. I've got all kinds of scripture that I could read you about the fear of God, but I'm not going to. I say he changed his mind about the fear of God. He changed his mind about his future. He changed his mind about his future. Oh, when they started in crime, don't you know he said this? Man, we're going to make a lot of money. We ain't even going to have to work for it. We're just going to steal it. We're just going to rob and we're just going to plunder. Man, we're going to have a pot full of money. We're going to live it up. Man, we're going to have the life. It's going to be an easy life. But now he's dying. Now, death on his doorstep. But it slowly chased him down. It's right behind him. It's getting ready to put, death's getting ready to put his clammy hands around his throat, choke the life out of him. He's going out into eternity. And can I tell you, he changed his mind about his future. He said, hey, we're condemned. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the, let me read it to you. I started to say the same condemnation. That's what he says, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. He said, here's what he said. Don't you see we're condemned? Don't you see we've come to the end of the road? Don't you see judgment's getting ready? Don't you see we're getting ready to go out into eternity condemned by God? Don't you see that? Shouldn't you change your mind, friend? That's what he's saying. He changed his mind instead of saying, hey, I'm all right. I'm as good as that old boy that goes down at the church. Oh, that's a bunch of hypocrites down there. If they're going to heaven, I don't want to go. No, here's what he said. I'm a no good sinner. I'm condemned. I deserve hell. I'm going to hell. We're getting the due rewards of our day. He changed his mind about his future, about who he was. I'm going to say it's okay if you want to change your mind about your future. That's right. It's okay. It's okay to do that. He changed his mind about his future. Oh my, he realizes now he doesn't have a future. Hey, I'm 57 years old. Can I tell you, life went by like that. My 57 years has been like that. Some of y'all could say that same thing. It's just like this. My dad died at 61. If that's so, if I live as long as he did, 4 little years, brother Al, I'll be in eternity. If I live 20 more years, and I doubt if I will, but if I do, it'll go like that. It'll go like that. Oh my, here's what I'm saying. You better change your mind about your future if you don't have Jesus in it. And it's okay to. In fact, it's smart to. In fact, it shows wisdom to. Oh, here's what I'm saying. He changed his mind about his friend. He changed his mind about the fear of God, and he changed his mind about the future. Here's what he said. There's eternal damnation waiting on us. We're condemned. We're under the condemnation of God. Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? It's Jesus in heaven or Jesus in hell. That's where it's at. Without Jesus, we're condemned. We're condemned. And it's okay to change his mind. Then I want you to notice some other things. He changed his mind about Jesus. I've heard people say, I don't want none of that Jesus stuff. I don't want none of that church stuff for me. It's okay for y'all, but I don't want none of that. He might have thought like that at one time, but now he won't. He's interested. His life's a wreck and it's over, you might as well say. And he realizes things ain't what they... He don't think like he used to. He's got some experiences under his belt and he thinks different. The situation he's in has taught him differently. And he's thinking different now. And the crowd and the multitudes thinking like he used to. But he realizes they're wrong. And he changes his mind about some things. He changes his mind about the Father's Son. That's right. Here's what he said. First he said, yeah, if you're really who you say you are, cast yourself down. You saved others, save yourself. If you be the Christ, cast yourself down. Come off the cross. Prove who you are and I'll believe. Now he ain't talking like that. He changed his mind about Jesus, the Father's Son. He said, but this man hath done nothing to miss. He realized Jesus is sinless. Without Jesus, never committed one sin. Not one sin, church, did Jesus ever commit. But he took all our sins upon him. That's why he suffered on the cross, not for his sins, for our sins. He paid the penalty that God demanded for your sins. Let me make it personal this morning for your sins. Oh my. He sees Jesus and said he's innocent. He's not done anything wrong. He's unworthy of death. He saw Jesus as the Holy Son of God. That's right. I've got the scripture. I'm not going to turn over and read them. Jesus was holy and harmless and separate from sinners. He became sin for you and I that we might be made the righteousness of God. He took our sins and gave us his righteousness. What a deal. What a deal that is. Well, glory to God. What a deal. You remember when he cleaned you up? You felt as clean as a new snow that had fallen. I remember plain as day, Brother Miller. I just remember when he cleaned me up and I felt clean down on the inside. Oh, my. He changed his mind about Jesus. He is the Savior. He changed his mind. He said, hey, I want to be with him one of these days. He said, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. Remember me. I want to be where you're at. You're who I want to be with. You're who I want to follow. I've followed my friend long enough. I've followed the path of crime long enough. I've lived this sinful life and it's taken me to death's door. I want to be with you. I want to live throughout eternity. Oh my, he changed his mind about the Father's Son. Notice what he says, this man hath done nothing amiss. Then he looked at Jesus and said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Kingdom? This guy's dying on the cross. Where'd he get the word kingdom, man? Can I tell you, he saw a Savior. He saw a King. He did see a king. He wouldn't have said thy kingdom if he hadn't saw a king. He saw Jesus different than he'd ever saw him before. He saw a kingdom. He saw a ray of hope for the future. I mean, now he's dying and it's all over and life slipped by, but now he sees there's hope for the future. Oh my. You know what had to happen? I believe the Holy Spirit of God opened his eyes. Christ and showed him there's a better way. There's a better way. Oh my. It's okay to change your mind about Jesus. Amen. He said unto Jesus, Lord. You know what Lord means? Master. Boss. The one that gives me orders. Here's what I hear the world say. I don't want none of that stuff. I don't want nobody to tell me. I'm my own man. I live life my way. I do what I want to do. Hey, when God opens your eyes and shows you who you are and where you're going, what you deserve, you'll want Him to be your Lord. Oh, I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to tell me what to do. I want Him to be in charge. I want Him looking over my life. I need Him to be my Lord. Oh, he said, Lord, Lord, Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew he's going to live forever. He knew his life. Why would he say, remember me, if he thought Jesus was going to be dead and that was it? Oh, no. He knew there's life after death. Oh, notice what Jesus said. Here's what he did. He acknowledged him as Lord and Savior. He knew his hope was in Jesus. No other way out but Jesus. Only one way to heaven. Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what it says. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. What it says, it's Jesus or you miss it. Some folks say this, I'm just going to be good. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what it says. There is none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For by the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. That's the Bible. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says there's none good. None good. All have sinned. But Jesus paid your sin debt. You can be saved this morning. If you'll just change your mind about Jesus. He saw him as a Savior. He saw him as a Lord. He saw him as a King. He saw him as eternal. My, he saw him as one that would listen. He talked to him. You know why he talked to Jesus? He knew Jesus had listened to him. Can I say to you, sinner, Jesus will listen to you. You'll get serious about this thing of salvation. Hey, when I got saved, I didn't know anything. Brother Miller, I knew one thing, I was a sinner. And I knew Jesus was the Savior. And I knew if you called on Him, He said He'd save you. And I just believed that. I didn't know about repentance. I didn't know about lordship. I didn't know about propitiation. I didn't know about redemption. I didn't know anything, but I was going to hell and I didn't want to. And Jesus was the way out. And I just said, Jesus, I said, God save me. God save me. I believe I said it twice. I don't even know if I said it out loud. I knew nothing. I was just a little sinner. All I knew, I was on my way to hell and I was scared. I didn't want to go. I said, my life was a wreck. I said, God save me. God save me. And He saved me by His glorious power. He'll do that for you, sinner, if you're serious. He'll do that for you. See, when I came in that church that night, I wasn't getting saved. No way. No way. No, I wasn't doing nothing like that. But I changed my mind. Thank God I changed my mind. And He saved me by His grace. Oh my. We see in this sinner, I don't have time to preach it. We see conviction, repentance, faith, lordship, hope, mercy, grace, long-suffering, and answered prayer. I can preach every one of them things. I can take every one of them and preach on them this morning. Now that text right there. What happened when he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into my kingdom. What did Jesus say? You're a worthless bum. I don't want you. What did Jesus say? You wasted your life. How are you going to benefit me now? Here's what Jesus said. Because he loves sinners. He loves sinners. Man, that's a glorious thought, Brother Stephen. He loves sinners. Well, glory to God, we've got a Savior that loves sinners, and he loves them in their sins. When they're sorry and no good, and it's an unloving thing, be my Savior loves sinners. He comes to them, and that's it. You remember when he come to you, Brother Steve? Well, glory to God. Started dealing with your heart in your sins. You were in your sins. No good, but God came to you. Started dealing with you. Oh, my. Started dealing with you. What happened when he called on the Lord? Said, Lord, remember me. Here's what Jesus said. Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He said, let me put it in these Tennessee words. You want to be saved? You serious about this? He said, okay, I'll save you. If you're serious, the Lord's serious. God's so serious about saving sinners, he sent his precious darling son from heaven to this sin-cursed earth to walk among men and suffer ridicule and shame. They stripped him off naked and mocked him and spit in his face. I heard one fellow say, as many soldiers as there was, if they'd all spit in Jesus' face, his whole face would have been saliva, covered in saliva. That's what they done to God's son. You know why he took it, Steve? Because he loves sinners. Yeah. Yeah. He loves sinners. Well, glory to God, he loves sinners this morning. He loves you, sinner. He loves you, and he wants to save you if you'll just come to him. He'll save you this morning. He said, remember me, Lord. You say that ain't enough prayer to get him in. It got him in. That's right. It's not what you say verbally. It's what your heart's crying out to God. Oh, my. Fact of the matter is, I didn't even know how to pray, hardly. I didn't know nothing. Said, God save me. God save me. And he saved me. Here's what the thief said. Remember, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You say that wouldn't get it done. It did. It got the job done. I've heard all kinds of little conversion experiences, and they're all different to some degree. They're all different. How's a sinner going to know how to pray except from his heart? That's all he knows how to do is from his heart. He knows what's in his heart, and if it ain't from the heart, it ain't worth nothing anyways. That's right. He said, Lord, remember me. Thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus didn't mock him, didn't make fun of him. Didn't get upset with him. He just said, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He saved him. I want to ask you, is there a sinner in our midst today? Here's what's going to happen to you. Someday, God's going to come and speak to your heart and deal with your heart. Till he does, it's all vanity. We call that Holy Ghost conviction. What we call it, God convicts you. I'll tell you what he did to me. I'd lay on my bed of a night. About 9 to 10 o'clock, we'd go to bed as young folks there at the house. And about 10, that old cool air from that window fan would come in and relax me. And the Holy Ghost would say to me, if you die, you're going to hell. I was afraid to go to sleep, afraid I might not wake up. That went on about 3 weeks, roughly. And I went with my dad to church that night, and the Holy Ghost met me there and said, you need to be saved. You need to be saved. Was it some kind of magical? No, it's that still, small voice down on the inside dealing with my soul. That's what it was. Nobody heard anything but me. It's just God dealing with my heart. You say, how do I know when I need to be saved? You'll just know it. You'll just know it. That's all I'm saying, young folk. God's dealing with your heart. You'll just know it one of these days. I knew I needed to be saved that night. I wonder today, say somebody, say, preacher, I've went a long ways refusing to change my mind. I need to change my mind today. I need to go with Jesus. I need to change my mind about who I am. I'm not good. I'm not good as everybody else. I'm a sinner under the condemnation. Under the condemnation of sin, which is eternal death in the lake of fire. I wonder tonight, would you like to change your mind? Would you like to change your mind and go with Jesus? He's standing there with outstretched arms. He loves sin. You know God loves sinners. He wouldn't have sent His only begotten Son if He didn't love sinners. He wouldn't still be tolerant. If He didn't love sinners, He'd wipe half of them off the map today. The way they treated Him and cursed His name and mocked His word and His men that's tried to be a help and a blessing. He'd wipe them out, but He loves them. He loves them. I want to ask you, do you need to be saved today? Would you like to be? Is the Holy Spirit of God dealing with your heart? And you need to be saved. Brother Allen, let's come to the instruments. I ask you to bow your head. Ask God's people to be praying. God's spoken to your heart. Here's what the devil say. Put it off. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Wait for a more convenient time. They'll make fun of you. They'll laugh at you. God won't save you. The devil's a liar. He's a liar. If you desire to be saved today, the Lord will save you. Brother Allen, you sing. I'll give you an opportunity to respond to the Word of God this morning.